Good evening. Let's all stand together. Let's sing hymn number 195. 195. I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother. Full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. Look and live, my brother. Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Life is given unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life my soul shall have, if you'll only look to him, hallelujah. Look to Jesus, who alone can save. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now. Tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name, hallelujah, I trusted when he saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Be seated. We'll sing hymn number 127. Hymn number 127.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned.
lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted I, hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Good evening. If you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers, to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as a heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in the mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down from the dunghill, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even the dust. Our most high and gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word and for whom it speaks. As we celebrated last week, sending thy son for the forgiveness of our sins through his sacrifice on the cross, may you bless this evening again with thy spirit. Be with Brother Donnie as he brings the word. Bless the sick and the weary of the congregation. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Page 16 in our course books. 16 in the course book. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He commands his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, oh, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and
open your Bibles with me this evening to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. The title of my message this evening is The Work of God. The Work of God. Read these first six verses. Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there is Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. You remember where they was caught at the Red Sea and God saved them. Now they'd done been in out of Egypt for 3 months. They've been traveling around the wilderness. They come to Mount Sinai. That's where the law was given, on Mount Sinai. And God told Moses that one day he'd worship them there. You keep this and look in, keep chapter 19, look in Exodus 3, verse 12. Look what God told Moses, that he would be worshiping there one of these days. Moses asked God there in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. So he had already told him that he's going to worship God on this mountain. Now Mount Sinai was the law was given. That's where God's glory, that's where God's majesty, God's honor, God's righteousness is being seen. And I tell you, as you go on down through here, you see how that they even put a big rope around it so the people wouldn't get too close. But here shows us that God is absolutely unapproachable without a mediator. God always dealt through Israel with Moses, through Moses. And God only deals with people through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is unapproachable without a mediator. God will not speak to or be spoken to without a mediator. Somebody's got to be between us and God. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses was that mediator as being as the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time that, I mean, even once God said, Moses, get out of my way. I'm angry with this bunch. I'm going to destroy them. Moses stepped up and said, Lord, don't do that. He done just like Christ did when he went for the cross for us. Lord, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. And Moses said, Lord, people will say that you couldn't bring your people out. And oh my dear, so Moses, God's only approachable with a mediator. Without a mediator, you can't approach him. And while Moses is on the mount with God, God told him to go back down and tell Israel. Remind them. I want you to remind them of the great salvation that I have already provided for them, what I've already done for them. And I'll tell you how I delivered them and all the things that I wrought for them. And that's what he says there in verse 3. You shall say to the house of Jacob. Remember how Jacob got his name. It was God gave him a new name of Israel. But here he calls him Jacob, Jacob. And he begins to tell him what great salvation, what God's done for him. Look what he said in verse 4. It's the first thing he says. You have seen what I did. You notice that's it. You've seen what I did, not what I'm going to do. Not what I hope to do, what I'd like to do. He said, you see what I did to the Egyptians. And so what our Lord's telling them here is, they said, you look back, I got you here, but you look what I did. And that's what the gospel's all about. It's not telling you what to do, it's telling you what Christ already did. That's what the gospel is, an accomplished salvation, something already accomplished. And that's what God said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. You think I can't carry you all the way through? If I destroyed your enemies and they was right behind you and I destroyed them and I killed your enemies and they, and he said, you overthrew them in the Red Sea, and he said, you shall see them no more. No more. Now let me tell you some enemies we have. You know what our greatest enemy is? Sin. Our greatest enemy is sin. Second greatest enemy is death. Death is because of sin. Second greatest enemy is death. Third greatest enemy is judgment. And why you're going to have judgment is because of God's justice. And then after judgment, you got the wrath of God to deal with. Now let me ask you, can we deal with any one of those things and destroy any one of those things? Can we put away sin? Can we put away death? He read it tonight. He said, God said, death shall be swallowed up in victory. God said, I'm going to swallow death. I'll swallow it. It don't have no power. And what about judgment? How about facing judgment? Can we face judgment for ourselves? Oh, not, can we face the wrath of God for ourselves? No. You know, that's what he said. I'm going to tell you what I did. I destroyed your enemies. Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ put away death by his own death. And Christ bore the judgment of God for us. Christ bore the wrath of God for us. So every enemy that was against us, and I tell you what, when he said, ye shall see them no more, we won't see them no more. We will never have to face sin again. We'll face physical death, but we will not face that death that Adam and all other people has faced over their lifetime. We'll not have to face the judgment because we was judged in Christ. We'll not have to face the wrath of God because Christ bore the wrath of God for us. And he says, why God said, you see what I did? Just look back and see what I did. Ain't you glad it was? I heard a fellow say, boy, this gospel we believe is what you call a done deal. It's a done deal. Oh, all that was against us. Everything that was against us. So many things is against us. Our flesh was against us. The world's against us. The devil's against us. The law was against us. And the scripture says that Christ took them out of the way. Nailed them to his cross. Everything that was against us that I just mentioned, Christ took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross. And you know when he nailed them to his cross, you know what he did with them? He stripped them of all their authority, stripped them of all their power, stripped them of all their authority, so they don't have no power, no authority, nothing over us ever again. He took it out of the way. So you see what I did. I love a gospel that tells you what's already done. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. It does not ask anybody to do anything except come to Christ. And I do know this, that if God doesn't come to a man first, he won't come to Christ. But I do know also that that's the thing about the gospel. We're telling somebody what's already accomplished. When our Lord said it is finished, he meant it's done. Everything, all the old timers said this. I don't know how many old timers said this, and I've read it so many times. It says, what God requires, God gives. He requires obedience, he gives obedience. He requires death, he provides death. He requires justice, he satisfied justice in his son. He desires holiness, he gives it. Whatever God requires of a soul, God himself provided it. What he requires, he provides. And what he provides, that's all he will ever accept. He will not accept anything else except what he himself provides. And then look what else. Look how he did save them. Look how he saved them. He said, you see what I did to the Egyptians, what I did to your enemies. We see what Christ did to our enemies. And listen to this, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. Bear you on eagle's wing. So many places, you know, he said we're hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. We dwell under the feathers of the Almighty. And here he says, I bear you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings. You know, they say that an eagle has an eagle eye. You know, he can be way, 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 way up there, and he can see something, and he can get it just like that. He can see things from so high up, see things perfectly. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, he sees things perfectly. And he said he bear you on eagle wings. You know, when you think about being on an eagle's wings, and our Lord bearing us on eagle wings, I mean, that means he's way, way, way up there, and he's got us on his wings, and he's carrying us on his wings. That's a high. He's way up there. And oh, he not only he gets us and carries us on them eagle's wings. You say, boy, how did he carry that many people? He's the Lord. That's what he can carry. He can carry a multitude that no man can number. But he said, I bear you on eagle's wings. Oh my. Let me show you something in Isaiah 55. Oh, this the way of the eagles beyond the reach of man. I mean, Christ has to come and get us and put us on those eagle wings. We can't go up there and get on the eagle wings. But look what he said in Isaiah 55. Look in verse 8. Oh, it's a very, very high way, way up there. And oh, we can't get up there. So Christ has to take us up there. God has to take us up there, pick us up on them eagle's wings. He said in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now listen, this is God showing us something here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, how high are the heavens above the earth? They sending satellites out there that goes for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. And oh my, just ever how far the heavens are, he said, as the heavens are higher than what this earth right here you're standing on is, my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are your thoughts. And so I tell you what, it's so high that we can't get it. But yet he comes down, he said, I bear you on eagle's wings, eagle's wings. And not only is he bear us in the highway, way up high, carries us on eagle's wings, but I tell you, it's a fast way, it's a swift way. When an eagle is fast, an eagle's swift, an eagle can get down and come down so fast, and our Lord Jesus Christ, when he picks us up on the wings of an eagle, it's swift. It don't take him long to come down and get you. I mean, you know, and it don't take him long to save you and get you where he wants you to go. That's what I'm talking about here. When he bears your own eagle's wing, it's quick, fast. And I tell you what, a quick way, an eagle's swift, it's fast. And when our Lord works, there's lots of immediate, straightway. When our Lord done something, I mean, he didn't have to wait till it got accomplished. What I'm saying, you know, it's like the woman with the issue of blood. When she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she touched him, immediately her blood was stanched. She didn't have to get up and go back to the house and check herself, see if I'm okay. It's just that quick. Huh? And oh my, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? I want my sight. Okay, immediately his sight was restored. And I tell you what, when our Lord called his John, James, and away from their nets, the scripture said, straightway, immediately, they left him. And you remember when that man was let down through the roof of the house, and our Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, your sins be forgiven you. And they got all upset about it. Nobody can forgive sins but God. But that you know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sin. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately that man got up and walked. And what I'm saying is, God don't take all day to get something done. What he does quickly, fast. And I'm so thankful for it. Those three lepers come down from the mountain and say, Lord, if you will, thou can make us clean. And he said, I will. And immediately they were clean. And that's how quick Christ can come down and bear us on those eagle's wings. And then it's a powerful way, a powerful way. Look what he says. How I bear you. I did it. He said, I bear you. I bear you on eagle wings. I bear you. You know, it was by the power of God. This was God's way of doing things. God's, you know, I bear you. I wouldn't bear you. It wasn't by their being born, that, you know, they were born up out of Egypt. Salvations of the Lord. And look in Isaiah chapter 46. Go over here in Isaiah 46, talk about barren. I bear you up. Isaiah 46. Oh, it's such a powerful way. I bear you. How could God bear so many? Our Lord Jesus Christ, you remember, he says, you know, what man hath 100 sheep or 99 sheep and they're in the fold, one goes astray, one's lost. He said he goes through the wilderness, goes everywhere looking for that lost sheep. And when he's found it, what does he do with it? Puts it on his shoulder. He bears it. The scripture said he bears it on his shoulder, on his shoulder. But look what he said. You're talking about a blessing. What a blessing this right here is. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. That's who he's talking to back there. Oh, Jacob, remember what I did? Remember what I did to your enemies? You ain't going to see them no more. You don't have to deal with them anymore. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, listen to this, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hairs, that's what that whore hairs means, even to your gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. What a promise. What a promise. That's God's way. I bear you by the power of God. He purchased by the blood out of Egypt, and they were born by the power of God, brought up out of Egypt. And they said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I tell you, this salvation he's talking about, it's a passage from death to life. Death to life. I bear you from your mother's belly. From your mother's belly. And then look what the end of this way is. There in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto your enemies, how I bear you, I bared you, I carried you on eagle's wings. And this is the reason for it. I brought you unto myself. I did that to bring you to me. I did all this. I brought you out of Egypt, bore you on eagle's wings, killed your enemies in the Red Sea, bear you on eagle's wings, and I done all that for one reason, to bring you to myself, to bring you to myself. Oh, my. You know, the scriptures tells us over in 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why did he do that? That he might bring us to God. He has to be the one to bring us. He brought us to God. He brings us to God. You know, we were afar off, but we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, salvation is to know God. Well, how can you know him? He says he brings us unto himself. I brought you unto myself. I did this to bring you unto myself. And then I want to show you some conditions, and I'm going to show you where the conditions are met. Look what he says down there in verse 5. Now therefore, since I brought you to myself, carried you on eagle wing, destroyed your enemies, now there, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, a people above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, I tell you what, the condition is this. Obedience, obey my voice, and keep my covenant. You know anybody that's made his voice perfectly? Oh, there are two things here that must be done. Obey my voice, obedience, obey what I have to say. And the second was, is be faithful, keep my covenant. And oh my, I do know one thing. That I, it's, you know, the will is present with me, but how to perform, I know not how. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who should save me from this body of death? But the things that God requires, the condition he obey my voice, there's one person, one soul, one man that obeyed God. And he obeyed God. You know, there's two men in the Bible that God deals with, the whole human race, and those two men, Adam and Christ. The first Adam and the last Adam, Christ. And the first Adam, he disobeyed God, and we disobeyed God in him. But the second Adam, he obeyed God perfectly. Everything God told him to do, he did. The words that I speak, they're not mine. The words that my Father give me. I do always those things that please him. And everything our Lord did, he did perfectly. He did sinlessly. He did purely and every way possible. There's no way that he did not obey God perfectly. And now, how in the world can we obey his voice? We don't hear a voice. We don't hear a voice. They heard a voice coming off that mountain. We don't hear a voice. You know the only voice we'll ever hear from is that right there. That's the only voice we'll ever hear from, is what thus saith the Lord. I was listening to a preacher say that preaching the other day, Kevin Thacker, on the two Adams out of Jonah. And he mentioned me in that. He said, you know, he said, Donnie Bell said he has no problem believe that Jonah, that the whale swallowed Jonah. But he said, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that, because that's what God said. If God says it, that's what I believe. I don't know everything he said, but whatever it is, I believe it. Don't you? And that's what we're talking about. Whatever God's word says, I believe it. I want to obey his voice. I do. But I don't hear an audible voice. I hear a spiritual voice. I hear the word of God. And the word of God tells me this: trust Christ, believe Christ, come to Christ. Obey Christ. He's the word. You know, words is used to communicate. Words is used to express somebody's ideas, what's in their mind, what's in their heart. Well, the words that God Christ come to do, the words that Christ obeyed, that's the way he communicates with us. That's the way he expresses himself, is in his word. We don't know what God's mind is, but unless we look in his word. We don't know what his will is unless we look in his word. We don't know what his will is for us unless we look in his word. But I tell you what, I know one person that's obeyed his voice perfectly. Now, I'd love to. And I tell you what, he makes it. And the only way in the world we can do that is being made alive by the Holy Ghost. Then said, keep my covenant. Keep my covenant. Well, look over in Exodus 24. You know, the only way in the world is there has to be something done for us to be faithful. Exodus 24. Oh, keep my covenant. And look what happens, what's got to happen. Down here in verse 6. Now they killed the sacrifices and caught the blood in a basin. Half of the blood in a basin. Put half of it on the altar, another of that they put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled upon the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. That was the word of God. We have to have the word of God sprinkled with the blood. We couldn't understand it without the Holy Ghost. We couldn't understand it without the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. And he took the book of the covenant, read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and he'd be obedient. Moses took the blood, and this is what has to happen to us. Sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which hath made with you concerning these words. The only way in the world that we can keep that covenant, by the blood of Christ. He is that covenant. The only way we can do that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be faithful and keep the covenant? Christ kept the covenant. And I tell you, that covenant assures us of Christ's obedience faithful and assures us of blessings through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look what he tells us about what's going to happen to us. He said in verse 6, back up in verse 5, right there at the last part of it, he said, unto me above all people. You're going to be unto me above all people. All the people on the earth, you're going to be unto me above everybody else on this earth. You're mine. You're mine. And then he goes on to say this, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. A peculiar treasure. You're going to be mine above all people. The scriptures tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay pots. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. And God calls us a peculiar treasure. You feel like you're a treasure? Feel like you'd be a treasure to anybody? Christ said, you're mine. You're my peculiar treasure. And then he says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests. We're not only precious to him, but he's going to make us useful. And he said, all of God's people are going to be priests. And then he says this, you're going to be a holy nation. A holy nation. Now I'm going to close out with 1 Peter chapter 3. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and let me show you what exactly happens here. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep saying 3. A holy nation to inherit a new heaven and a new earth. Look what he says down here in verse 5. Ye also as lively stones, living stones, that's what he says, are built up a spiritual house. Living stones build up a spiritual house. Not a physical house, spiritual house. And holy priesthood. You know, they had a priesthood under the Old Testament, under the law. And the Levites was the only people that could be priests. And Aaron was the very first priest, and his sons were the second priest. And they always had priests, always had the high priest. So now we have the priesthood. We, priests, were wont to do offer sacrifices. That's what they were given to do. But we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not blood sacrifices, not lambs, not goats, not bulls, not heifers, but offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God only one way, by Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him is not going to be ashamed, confounded, brought to nonplussed. We don't know, have a clue what he's doing. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, at God's word, being disobedient. And listen to this, they were appointed to be disobedient. They were appointed to stumble at the word. But, and this is what he said over there, you are a chosen generation. Not only over there he said just priesthood, here he says you're a royal priesthood. You're a royalty. You have a royal priesthood. And you're a holy nation. All of God's people is a holy nation. And he said a peculiar people, a purchased people. And this is the reason that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Started out, you see what I did. I'm glad it's dead. Oh, Festus, on Gunsmoke all the time. We said we wouldn't know what was did if we didn't know what they did when they did it, and then they did it again. You know? So I'm glad that he did it. We say he did it all. All to him I owe. Our Lord, in the blessed name of Christ, I thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. And I thank you for the words. And I thank you for the salvation that's accomplished. I thank you that you set us apart to be your people, of all the people of the earth. You called us chosen. We're chosen of you. Purchased by you, made a priesthood by you. And every sacrifice we offer, it's a spiritual sacrifice. It comes from the heart, it comes from our souls. It's a prayer, it's a thanksgiving, it's a praise, it's a groan. But Lord, it's a spiritual sacrifice. And we're so grateful that you made everything that we say or do acceptable through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us, keep us, see these folks safely home, meet the needs of their home, their hearts. Forgive us of everything. Forgive me of everything that's unlike you. Give you people traveling mercies. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. Amen. You're at liberty to go. I'll see you Wednesday night.